But welcome to all of our Bethel family this morning. All right, so I'm going to start with a question for my young friends, and I'll just tell you that if you participate with me, there's sugary things I've got, okay? That's part of this. It's part of the deal we have. What is something your mom and dad or an adult taught you to do? Jonathan. To clean your room. You didn't know how to do that? And just like, careful, let's go in for eyes, let's go in for heads. Okay, what else is something you learned? Aria. How to play piano. Yeah, we don't come out as babies being like, I'm a really good piano player, let me show you. Joe, one more. There's lots of other questions. I'll try to get to most of you.
Learn to pray.
Learn to pray. Okay, you're just gonna hear. Yeah, exactly. Lots of good skills being passed down in the room. I learned to cook from my mom, watching my mom cook day by day in the kitchen. I think when I went to university and lived on my own for the first time, I think I called my mom every day being like, so what temperature and how long would you cook a chicken breast for? How do you make salad dressing? Where does one find nutmeg? I think the pantry was what I missed most. I had to, like, you have to buy salt? What is this world we live in? It's tough. But you have to grow. You have to learn things as you go on your own and become mature. And our Christian lives are no different. We are children of God, learning day by day who we are and what that means. So today, our plan is to finish off our prayer series by looking at the question that Jesus' disciples asked him in Luke 11:1. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Right, Joe? Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus' response is what's known as the Lord's Prayer, though it might be the disciples' prayer. It's not for the Lord, it is for us. So we're going to read Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and we're going to get into it. Though I did hear that our Sunday school is learning the Lord's Prayer this September. Is there anybody who would be courageous enough to say it for us? Think you could do it, Marjorie? All right, we'll go together. If you get a problem, I can put it on the screen.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those who trespass against us, and forgive
us our trespasses.
As we forgive our trespasses, but lead us, but not into temptation, and deliver us from evil.
Well done, Marjorie. Excellent. That's two. There you go. Yes, that is our text. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Lord, thank you that you teach us all things. You lead us into all wisdom. You are our Father. You know us and what we need better than we know ourselves. And help us to marvel at who you are, what you've done, to rest humbly at your feet, begging you for what we cannot do for ourselves. I pray for all of us, young and old, big and small, whether we've been Christians for decades or just a few 4 years, or those who are considering, that you would show us your goodness and lead us to your throne, forgiven and eager to have more of what you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're going to look at what this prayer that Jesus gave his disciples teaches us, because that is what the prayer is. It is a model prayer. It is pray like this. That's what Jesus says. So I need a volunteer to repeat after me. You think? Okay, Gloria, you think you can do it? All right. 2 plus 2 equals 4.
2 plus 2 equals 4.
Very good. Okay. 3 plus 4 equals 7.
3 plus 4 equals 7.
Congratulations. You now know math. I have taught you math. And you can go talk with Dave Nicholson when he gets back about the Pythagorean theorem. Right? That's the mathiest thing I know. But that's not how it works, right? Recitation, memorization, is not necessarily learning. This prayer is meant to shape us, to inform us, to teach us. So let's look at what it teaches us. And the first thing I think it says is that prayer teaches who God is. Prayer should teach us who God is. The first words of the prayer are, "Our Father in heaven." And this is probably the most important part of the prayer, because in prayer, we all become children. We all become children of God, desperately in need of our Father to teach us, to guide us, to provide for us. We never grow out of it. We never merit beyond it. We are children of God. And how we pray really proves if we believe it or not. And these four words teach us so much about God and about prayer. First, we see that our God is personal. He is our Father. He's not some distant, unfamiliar deity way off in the cosmos somewhere. He knows you as a father knows his own child, more so even. We also learn that God is loving. He is Father. And even if your earthly father failed to show the love he should have, I can promise you that your heavenly Father shares none of the weaknesses, vulnerabilities, or failures that your earthly father does. He cares deeply. He feels deeply. And he deeply desires a relationship with you. And thirdly, we see that God is powerful. He is in heaven, over all, seeing all, in a place untainted by evil and sin. He is the king, he is master, he is lord, he is sovereign, and yet we are all invited to be his family and his children. You might remember a clip that went around on YouTube during the pandemic. It was a guy in BBC being interviewed, some fancy educated guy in the background. His toddler son opened the door during his interview and just came dashing in to dad. And mom, just covering her face, grabbed him, hauled him out, just mortified at what had gone on. I mean, they were embarrassed, but we all need to have that heart for our Heavenly Father, just running in like, oh, he's a big deal, he's powerful, I'd really like to be close to him right now, he's my dad. Like, that is the mind we all need in our prayers. We have access to God our Father. We come to him with affection and boldness, knowing he always and only intends our good. That's what does. Prayer teaches us who God is, and it forms us as we bow our knees to him. But prayer also teaches us what our goals must be. What our goals must be. Do we have any bike riders in the room? Any people like to ride their bike? Okay, Willa, when you get on your bike, why do you get on your bike? Okay, good. It's fun. Exercise your legs. Anybody ever get on the... Do you go somewhere, maybe? Anybody bike to school anymore? Is that a thing that happens? Nice. I feel like I used to bike to school. You get on your bike to go somewhere. Usually it's not till you get older that it's like, oh, I need exercise. Let's get on my bike. You used to have a plan when you got on your bike. My friends, we're going. We're going to hit a jump, and then we're going to come back and say, I scraped my knee. Like, that was the plan involved in biking. And prayer is no different. We need to know where we're going, or we're going to end up in the weeds really quickly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You'll see that this matches that pattern of the two God prayers we talked about in the first week of our series. The goal of prayer is to see beyond ourselves to the glorious God we serve and be content in his glory rather than our own. It's remarkable. You look at it in your Bible. Jesus' disciples ask, hey, how should we be praying? And in most of your Bibles, it's about five lines till he mentions them at all. But that's what Jesus, he wants us to see God. But we're going to look at that word hallowed. Hallowed be your name. I forgot to write that in this verse here. Hallowed be your name, because that's not a word we use very often. The only time we see the word hallowed is probably in connection with Halloween, which is not what we're doing when we're praying. But it's a hallowed something means to honor it, to respect it, to make it holy, to set it apart as special and separate. So our prayers are supposed to celebrate and display God's character, his work, which is essentially his name, who he is. So prayers like these, and you can see this, the Lord's Prayer has been compared to the Ten Commandments, is the opposite of the command to not take the Lord's name in vain. Our prayer should remind us and anyone who's listening what God has done, what he is like, and what he still promises to do. You can see this in the prayers of the Old Testament. Over and over and over again, the Jewish people would recount the rescue from Egypt and the Red Sea miracle that saved them from slavery. In the New Covenant context, that means in our prayers we speak of the cross of Jesus Christ, that miracle of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus to pay for our sins and invite us into God's presence forever. And we do that before we ask for anything. Because if God's honor and his glory is our highest goal, if that is what you're doing when you're praying, you're going to find your list of needs shrinking and changing as you consider that glory. And when God is pursued in prayer, in hearts, in families, in churches, that's what we call the kingdom of God. Where Christ is worshiped as king, that is the kingdom. Some of that is already, and some of that is coming on the final day. But it's not our kingdom. It's not our mission. It's not our will. It's his, the king's plan, our father's plans that we submit ourselves to as the goal of our prayer. And this is hard praying. Sometimes in our prayer meetings, I will say, we are just going to pray adoration prayers for the next 15 minutes. And it is hard work to put ourselves to death and just talk about God for even a few minutes in a prayer. But if Jesus teaches anything to us about prayer in this passage, that it's about God. It's not about us. Our goal, our direction, our trajectory in prayer is towards God and more of him. And that sets the stage for the next half of this prayer, because prayer also teaches us where good things come from. So now we take that shift from the to God to the from God. John Stott had a great comment on this passage. He said, just because our needs are secondary to God's glory does not eliminate them. I think that's important, each in its own place. Give us this day our daily bread, it continues. So you come home from school. What's the first thing you ask mom, dad, the adult who's at home for? What's the first thing? Levi, what do you need when you come home from school? Oh, I'm sorry, I pointed you out. That's my fault. I heard it. A snack. Silas, Malachi, one of you can have these. Ready? Coming at you. Oh, good catch. Yeah, a snack. And you're not being greedy about your snack. It's been a long, hard day at school. You need something to tide you over till dinner. You have a desperate need, and you need someone to fulfill that. How long do you think you'd last if all the adults in your life stopped cooking food for you? How long? Like a minute? Yeah, that seems about right. Like once the candy was gone, the granola bars were gone, and you just had like these magical ingredients in the freezer, a lot of us would maybe be doomed at that point. God knows we need these things, and he wants to give them to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I also know that most of us are not super concerned about our daily bread. You've got a loaf of bread on the counter at home, prayer answered, moving on. But this prayer is so much more than bread. This is acknowledging that God is the source of all the good things we need. This is a prayer that combats independence, that trains us to think of our desperate need of God, our Father, a submission to be filled with what he gives and not what we can earn, not what we can make, not what the world can give. He's our provider, primarily, even if we already have a loaf of bread in the drawer. And look, this isn't a greedy prayer either, is it? It's daily bread, just enough to satisfy us and a simple staple. When we accept the limits and the generosity of God, it leaves us in this place where we can actually achieve contentment and not longing and want. Good things come from God, and God invites us to ask him for those good things and to not forget to be thankful. But the prayer continues. It's not just the bread is not the only thing we need. We also have spiritual needs, and it goes on. We're reminded what grace is in our prayers. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Prayer should coat our heart every day in God's good gift of salvation in Jesus. Built into our prayers should be an acknowledgement of our own sinfulness, combined with the confident boldness in our Father's grace through the work of Jesus. Because forgiveness is the biggest request in this prayer. I get another question. So I make a bet with you, okay? I make a bet. I say, I bet you infinity dollars I can slam dunk this basketball. And you're like, I'm going to take that bet. That sounds great. And I lose. And I now owe you, infinity dollars. I'm in a bad place. And I give you $50. How much do I still owe you? Someone who hasn't asked. Oh, how much do I still owe you? You said it, I heard. Infinity dollars, exactly. I haven't scratched the surface of the bet I made you. And that is what our debt to God in sin is like, my friends. An infinite holy God is infinitely offended and robbed by our sin against that infinite holiness. And it's not just the bad things we do, like lying or anger or taking or desiring the things we don't have. It's also all the good we fail to do. If you have not loved the Lord your God with all your heart today, you have sinned. You have missed the mark God has set for us. Sin is who you are. It is knit into the very substance of your being. And because of that, you deserve judgment. You deserve guilt and to be forced to pay that infinite penalty. And yet, from the beginning, God has revealed himself as merciful, gracious, abounding in steadfast love, willing and wanting to forgive. And ultimately, he sent his son Jesus to perfectly satisfy both his hatred for sin and his love for you, so he could be the just and the justifier. So because Christ has paid it all, we can ask for forgiveness from God. And forgiveness is critical to prayer. Without forgiveness, without that relationship between you and God being restored, there is no one listening. If you are still in your sin, to pray God's will be done is to pray judgment on yourself. So look to Christ on the cross, bleeding and suffering for the penalty of your sin. Receive that undeserved gift of grace. Desperately cry out to the God who wants to make you his son, wants to make you his daughter in faith, asking him to accomplish that in you. You can do that today, once and for all, forgiven, never again to have your sins accounted to you. But many of you in this room have had that moment of justification. You have been forgiven because of the cross of Christ. Praise God. So why does Jesus tell us to pray for forgiveness? Is it because if we don't do it, somehow there's going to be sin left over at the end? No, that's not what it means. Your account is clear, wiped clean. Debt is paid, fully written across the account of your life. But the relationship between you and God and the relationship between you and others is contingent. The quality of that relationship is contingent on your acknowledgement and confession of the ongoing battle with the flesh, with sin. Humbly receiving God's grace and then reflecting that grace to others. So if we neglect to continually bring our sins to God in prayers, they're going to hit a ceiling and go no further. That warning Peter gives to husbands. Listen, live with your wife in an understanding way for the sake of your prayers. If you're not loving your wife, God is going, listen, treat my daughter well before you come to me asking for something. Asking for forgiveness reminds us of God's work in Christ for us. That keeps us humble before God and makes us humble to others, especially those who wrong us. You'll see that Jesus directly connects the forgiveness we receive with the forgiveness we then give. You cannot have one without the other in the kingdom of God. Every day, our prayer should celebrate the grace you have received. We reflect on what you deserved and what you got in Christ. And that feeds prayer that delights and hallows the Father's name and accomplishes his will. When we are fed with God's bread, forgiven with God's grace, and then the help keeps going. It teaches us where help comes from. Because as we fight this fight of faith, we need to learn what is right and what is wrong, how to put on what is good and put off what is evil. And we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are hard things, evil things in this world, things outside of us. Mean people, hard jobs, bad news, sick loved ones, war, hate, truly fearful things. And there are hard things, sinful things, evil things inside of us. Sin, lust, double-mindedness, jealousy. Christ forgives, but we need help to become more mature Christians. God wants us to obey him by avoiding evil and pursuing good. So prayer reminds us that you need help. It's the same kind of, it's a humbling thing when we're asking God, without you, I have no bread. Without you, I am in my sin, forgive me. Without you, I cannot determine what is right and what is wrong, and I will lose this battle. That is the humble moment we need to have every day before God. We need God more than we can even understand. So ask for the help you need. Intentionally, quietly, even as Jesus says earlier in Matthew here, secretly. No one has to know except God. There's no amount of time you have to spend trying to fix it before you pray. There's no level you have to hit before you can ask God for help. He is asking to be our first line of defense. He also claims he will be the final trumpet in all of your victories. God will have the final word. God does not help those who help themselves. That is not the point of the gospel. That God helps the weak, the humble, the powerless, the helpless to achieve what only he can grant. Because it is so easy to look for help from lesser things. Help from the government, help from doctors and medicine, help from your own strength. How quickly do we, this morning I had a headache and I just thought how easy it is to grab an ibuprofen and pop that in and be done with it. And never turn to God and say, move past this pain, Lord. Help me learn something even in this weakness. Even help from friends and loved ones. God might work through all of those things to bring you the help you need. I think Advil is a great thing. I think God has given that as an extension of his grace, but even Advil apart from God can be an idol. Prayer is supposed to ground us in that God is the source of all good relief. God himself, yet again. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. What a privilege. What a treasure. That's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know. Prayer teaches who God is, teaches what our goals must be, it teaches where good things come from, what grace is, and where help comes from. And now, I want to spend some time just talking about practically how can we build our endurance, our practice of prayer as individuals, as families, as a church. And I've got 7 things for us to consider this morning. This feels like it's a lot of points. 5 points, then 7 points, but we're going to get through it. Don't you worry. And the first tip I have for you is start praying. Start praying. There are a million excuses and distractions that keep us from daily being bowed in humble conversation with God. And there are many things we consider prayerful that are not. Reading your Bible is not prayer. Listening to a podcast is not prayer. Even putting on your favorite worship music is not prayer. Prayer is a conversation between you and God in the quiet, in the secret place. So do that. Set time aside. And if this is not something you're good at, you're going to have to get out your calendar and schedule it in. You're going to have to set the alarm clock a little earlier. You're going to have to put things in place that reminds you to make a habit of prayer. The assumption in Luke is when you pray, pray like this. When you pray. He's assuming it's going to happen. Here's my second tip for you, though. Pray big prayers at meals and bedtimes. The 2 times of the day that we usually have a good habit is before we eat and before we go to bed. So if prayer is a desperate cry to God our Father for everything we need, without which we will crumble and fall, then we should not waste a single prayer. Because I fear a lot of our prayers are just vanity and powerlessness in their repetitiveness. Dear Lord, thank you for the food. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless it to our bodies. Amen. A bad prayer? Not at all. Too familiar, perhaps? Maybe. Don't be afraid, parents. Don't be afraid, dinner party hosts. Don't be afraid, single person sitting in a restaurant, to pray big prayers at simple times. We had dinner with some friends not too long ago, and the dad of the family prayed for dinner, and I got to sit there and listen as he prayed for the salvation of his children and for Esther and I and our family dreams and our ministry. It was beautiful. The kids heard their dad's concern for their souls. Mom heard it. We heard it. We all got to be part of discipling those kids towards that prayer being answered. And at bedtime, listen, pray for your future. Pray for your holiness. Pray for the kingdom of God at bedtime. As you sleep, God is not taking a break. He is moving in 10 million ways you will never know every minute of every day. Moms and dads of young ones, it's really easy to rush bedtime. I know, to just get caught up in it. But consider it an effort in discipleship and a stone in the kingdom of God as you pray big prayers with your kids. Come up with a theme for every day of the week that you can remember. And each day, change your prayers. Sick people on Monday, pray for family and friends on Tuesday. You can find ways to build this rhythm into your home. Pray big prayers. Don't waste a prayer time on something repetitive and meaningless. Third one. Ask, how can I or we pray for you and do it? Anyone else feel like this might be one of the most awkward questions in the world? I don't know what the devil did, but he built in some social etiquette into the Western world to make Christians feel really awkward about asking, hey, could we pray for you? Break the ice. Display God as the treasure of your home by asking if you can pray and pray with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts, it says the Christians devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, the apostles' teaching, and prayer. These are the three things they spent their time doing. So you have people over for dinner, either at that mealtime prayer or after, ask, how can we pray for you? And do it. Before they walk out the door, pray for them. It takes practice, but I promise you it will become more natural and that your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ will deepen if you spend time praying for each other. Pray for each other out loud in person. Another tip, pray first, work later. What I mean is build a habit of prayer as your first response. If you pass an accident on the road, pray for the people and the officers who were involved in that car accident. You see someone wandering down the sidewalk who looks like they're not in their right mind, pray for that person out loud. Take the time to do that. You get bad news from the doctor, either hit your knees right away or gather your family and pray together. You get good news from a family member, a new baby, a new marriage, a clear scan. Pray, delight in God for it. Show your dependence to your family by making prayer the priority. And then, once you've prayed, I think you'll find it easier to get to work and do what needs to be done. But pray first. Model that dependency for anybody who's listening, young or old. Be a person, a family who's known for praying first and then working out their salvation with fear and trembling after that. Number five, listen to good prayers. So if you wanted to become a good soccer player or a baseball player, after you got the glove, after you got the bat, what should you do? What's the next step? You got candy. Yeah. Right here in the blue. That's you. I don't know if it's practice. Yeah, and who would you practice alone? Do you think you'd want to play with some other people? Yeah, you got to join a team, right? Okay, this is going to be a big one. Everyone heads up. That's too short. And there was very good hands behind you. I'm coming back to the next row back there. Nice, Dan. Yeah, you have to join a team. You're not going to get much better at the sport if you do it yourself. Practicing ping pong by yourself is not a great activity. We need to gather around people. You'll notice that the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. This is not a solo prayer. These are prayers for the gathered family of God. So make priority for that time. Our 9:30 breaking of bread service, a great time to come and either, gentlemen, stand, lead us in prayer, what God has put on your heart, and we can go together before the Father, or we can listen and affirm and pray together in the Spirit. That builds intimacy. I think we could use more prayers at that service. Our monthly prayer meeting, 1 hour out of the month, where we spend all an hour praying together around tables for the needs of our church and the glory of God. I love seeing kids at those prayer meetings. I can remember being at those prayer meetings. Was I coloring? Was I distracted? Yes, but I was listening to people pray and growing comfortable with the silence and the presence of God. Now, I know many of you are deathly afraid of praying in front of other people. of sounding stupid, of getting lost in your train of thought. But that's not what prayer's about either. It's about you and God communing with your family and seeking his glory together. And that's the family here or your family at home. So try it. The more you pray and get around people who pray, the better you will become and the more confident you will become. So listen to good prayers. Try it for yourself. Number 6, talk about prayer. So prayer is not just a spiritual activity where the Holy Spirit fills us and we don't even know what's going on. We pray with our body, our spirit, and our minds. So you need to think about prayer with your families and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask these questions. Parents, every one of you should have an answer to questions like, so if God already knows what's going to happen and is in control, why should I pray? How about, what if God doesn't hear my prayer? Or what if God says no? Answering those questions for yourself and for the young ones in your life is critical to that discipleship into a more mature Christian. We need to be in God's word. We need to be reading good things to inform, be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can pray knowledgeably and truthfully. If you want help with those questions, I don't have time to answer them this morning. Len and I, your elders, your pastors, your brothers and sisters in Christ, we would be happy to talk with you. There are no end to good resources on why we pray and how it fits into God's sovereignty and his will for the world. And you know what else you can do if you're having trouble believing in prayer? Pray about it. Pray that you would grow in your knowledge and trust in God and prayer as a weapon against the enemy and fuel for your worship. Talk about it. Ask the big questions. Find the big answers. Finally, my final tip here, read the Psalms and sing good hymns. Prayer is a challenge. There are moments in your life where there will be no words that can fill in the groaning. The Holy Spirit does promise to intercede for us even when our groaning is too deep for words. But when my creativity and my ability to put together a sentence fails, you know what does work? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Or how about this one? And when I think that you, your son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, you bled and died to take away my sin. Nothing I like to sing more walking down the sidewalk on a September last weekend than today then. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Or this, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, forgives all your iniquities, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your soul with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Good hymns, the Psalms, are a resource to us when we do not know what to pray as maybe we ought to. Fill your minds with good words that will inform your worship. Don't put up with catchy and useless lyrics from your songs. Demand deep truths that you can use as a weapon in your tool belt against the enemy and to fuel your family's worship. Prayer. It teaches us who God is, what our goals must be, where good things come from, what graces and where our help comes from. There's no end to those prayers. You will never reach the end of the bucket of what needs to be prayed for. And if you did, one day in a glorious moment of spiritual power, guess what? Daily bread comes again tomorrow. And that's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And those are some tips I hope you can bring home to build a habit and practice of prayers that sees the enemy flee and the kingdom and will of God done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we have a song to close? I will pray, and we will sing a final song in worship to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us your holiness, your might, your power, your righteousness, your infinite magnitude. And yet, in all these things that should terrify us, you have turned your face toward us in mercy, in grace, in favor. Show us our weakness. Make us delight in your goodness, that we would realize the privilege of bending our knee before the Creator of the universe is a special gift. Inflame our prayer, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, place yourself on display before us so we could not help but ask you for everything we need and ask you would provide. Not so much that we get greedy and forget you, not so little that we grow bitter and worry, but you would keep us where we need to be until you return. Thank you for this morning. Bless our worship as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.